What about Haaland, Shane? He scored 5 goals. 3 of them, if it was Alisson Becker, are a guaranteed save.
So I always said, be a player that people want to train with. And yeah. Then what is that? And it's like good energy, good smiles, encouraging me, pushing me, all that kind of stuff, do you know what I mean? Mm. When you get to dressing rooms in a senior level, if you're a good person around the dressing room, that's valuable. Yeah. Gaffers and managers, they'll keep you in there.
Yeah, it is a Mickey Mouse trophy. It's just in the way that we won it. Like Klopp come out and said that's the best trophy he's ever won. It was Shane's birthday yesterday, guys.
I turned up this morning and I had some players come up with gifts for me.
Mm. Pushy parents that really push the kids. Look at any great athlete, Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan. They've all been pushed by their parents. Serena Williams, Venus Williams.
It's a different era though, isn't it?
Yeah, but how important do you think that is? Because I look at my dad, I wouldn't have had them opportunities or been the player I was if he hadn't pushed me. Legends, what's going on? Welcome back to the Jonah Football Podcast. I want to start by saying thank you so much for the reception we got pretty much from making a return for the 50th time. Second episode, Shane, we did say we were going to try and be consistent, and we are.
It's a good start.
How are you anyway, Shane?
I'm good, yeah. I'm very good, yeah. Just back from sessions this morning, so.
Yeah. Yeah, so I coach at the HQ in the mornings, and you're at the field.
Yeah.
I was going to say, even though we can keep this in the podcast, we need to start bringing back the Instagram stories of like showing that you're at the field and then me
at
the HQ.
That's weird because I swear to God, right? I've been actually thinking about that. The other day, I remember we used to I'd be in Wollongong. This is years ago. I'd be in Wollongong. Jules would be out the west and then you'd be somewhere. We'd try and always do like a story from each.
I thought it was pretty cool.
That's all. That was old school.
Yeah. So
we stopped doing that. Yeah.
I know. Do you still have access to the Instagram page? No, I need
Keep
to give
me
you.
Off, eh?
No. So with the Instagram page, I refresh the password quite a lot.
Yeah.
There's just too many hackers out there these days.
You can't get in there.
Hackers are bad, aren't they? How bad is that lately?
Very bad.
I swear to God, on my emails, I don't. For people that are listening, I get so many emails, and I cannot stop them coming in, and they get so personalised as well.
Yeah.
Like
scary
in a sense, like they go personal to try and get you,
but they're on everything. They're on all Instagram. You know when you put like you see the big page for Instagram and straight away there's these bots that just come on straight away and just like comment on like just you know the way even on our Instagram it's like the Forex traders are you doing like what is that like?
It's mad, isn't it?
It's crazy.
But honestly, I'm more scared when I get like these text messages and emails that are so personalised. Yeah, or it's like there's loads in Australia where it's like pay your toll account and all this. You click on that link, they'll take your dog away.
But the thing is, if they send out 20,000 texts a day, all it needs is one person to fall for it.
Yeah.
And then they make their money, do you know what I mean? It's scary. And you know people, some people might not be switched on enough with technology and stuff and they see it and they'll be like, you know.
Like, it's mainly old people that are vulnerable to it. I'm scared. It's just some little weirdo in the basement of his house. It's bad.
Yeah, it's crazy.
How do you stop that?
I always get, I'm with you. I get phone calls and everything, but
I reckon it's res, you know.
Yeah.
I reckon it's res.
Well, I actually seen Nate, you know Nate Shop from Call of Duty?
Yeah.
He said that he put up a post yesterday about, like, the scamming and hackers that are in the... playing like obviously Call of Duty online.
Yeah.
And he said he used to be detectable, but now they've got that advanced now that like people are just completely cheating on the game online now that it's not detectable. Because it used to be somewhere you could see it.
See it, yeah.
Yeah.
I can vouch, Shane, because I'm back on Call of Duty. shout out to Godders, Daniel Godfrey, my new COD partner. Guys, you can laugh at me if you want. You know, if you're watching us on YouTube, you can laugh.
COD is the gold game.
I don't care if I'm 34 years of age and I'm still playing Call of Duty.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And that is my...
It's good to switch off, though.
That's it. I do it to switch off. Godders and I, we get deep, you know, we have a bit of a chat. I mean, Godders is tip.
He's like his golf.
He's tip on COD. Like, I'm absolutely carrying him, but he's a top
lad.
But yeah, going to what you're saying, like, it's too hard now.
But all this,
I can't
like,
enjoy the game.
All this like AI and everything's coming into the world now. Technology now. I don't think there's anything that you can't do now through technology if you want to get it.
And do you know what's annoying is like you can't recognise what's real and what's fake anymore.
Mm.
That's what scares me.
Scary.
Hey, good result for Leeds, Shane.
No, I loved it. I got up early Saturday morning and watched it. And I'll actually touch on it later. It's one of my points that I want to talk about, but. Yeah, I don't want to say anything too soon about Leeds, but we're going all right. Yeah. But to be fair, we've since the start of the year, we've won every game, scored 20 something goals, and conceded 2 goals in the league, which is that's incredible form.
Yeah.
But it's like Championship is a hard league to get through. And tough. Now we beat Leicester twice, and Leicester are being dubbed as probably the best team ever to play in the Championship, considering the points that they maybe get to.
Yeah.
And now we beat them twice, and we could actually see them go up in weeks.
Because you said a couple of weeks ago you'd love to see this current Leeds team in the Premier League.
Yeah? No, I would love to, yeah. But that's just me as a fan. Like I just love... I do feel like they're better equipped now to be in the Premier League than they were when they actually were.
Yeah.
Just the right manager, the right players, and the right kind of characters there. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like we do well. I think we survive. I think there's a couple of bad teams in the Premier League as well. You see, Leicester not born out today.
I can't quite put my finger on what's going on with the bottom three at the minute in the Premier League. In the sense that, like, will Everton go down?
Didn't they get the
they got
reduced or deducted
from 10 to 5? Which
and
I think
does that add straight back up?
Yeah, I think so. It's put them straight back up there now.
Mm.
But obviously, Sheffield United and Burnley are just struggling, aren't they? Thinking they're gone.
Yeah. I just think it's harder and harder now for the teams to come up because the gap is getting bigger. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, I always keep an eye on Sheffield United. But from what I see is, I feel like they've gotten worse since they got to the Premier League.
Yeah.
They came up with nearly a better squad. And now they got rid of one or two of their main players. And it's like, they've gotten a worse squad now. And they're getting hockeyed. Do you know?
Do you feel like Luton could stay up?
I think Luton are the only one that have a hope. I think Burnley and Sheffield United are gone.
What about Haaland, Shane? Literally 2 hours ago.
Yeah, I know. Five
goals.
Someone shouted it on the pitch when we finished.
I just watched the highlights saying, and I'm actually going to do a video on it. His movement inside the box.
He's a freak.
No. I know most of his goals are tap-ins. Like, I think two of them were through balls, just sheer pace and power. And he took them really well.
Yeah.
But the others were just great movement in the box.
Yeah.
But I want to say this, right? If you're watching this, guys, go and watch the highlights. He scored 5 goals. 3 of them, if it was Alisson Becker, are a guaranteed save.
Really?
What's the keeper doing?
Who was in goal? Kaminski, the main keeper?
Geezy's had shocker.
Really?
One of the finishes was world class where he like dinks it over him. One-on-one, dinks it over him. Great finish. But the others, I'm like, Alisson saves that.
De Bruyne, 4 assists as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
where was that in fantasy last week?
I don't listen.
We'll talk about that later on, guys.
I just want to touch on that while it's in my head. You know these, I feel like, and I watched Leeds in the Premier League, right? First season we came up with Bielsa, we had a go at teams and we survived in the Premier League. I'm watching football now and I try and watch Leeds as much as I can, but it's difficult living in Australia. I got up obviously to watch him against Leicester and I really enjoyed the game of football. Klopp came out and said it yesterday, it's exciting to watch the Championship. The game was like, honestly, at halftime, the game could have been 5-5. It was like two teams going at each other.
Yeah.
I'm watching the Premier League game sometimes, and say you take like a lower table side, like Burnley, they're so negative. Again, they're set up to sit deep and like, do you know what I mean? And against the bigger teams, they have no chance of winning the game.
Nah, you've got to give them a bit.
Second season
with
Leeds, I felt that. We were going out and we weren't even getting into the other final third of to try and create a goal in the whole game. I was like, this isn't enjoyable. So like, I feel like the teams that come up into that Premier League, that they need to be on the front foot. You need to be trying to go. I think like Luton are giving it a go in games.
And that's probably why they're doing a little bit better, because it's some of the games that'll pay off for them.
Yeah.
So, don't get me wrong, some games I'll get 6-2.
Yeah, yeah.
But I rate that. I really do. I agree. That's coming up in the good, bad and ugly for me a little bit later on. I want to touch on that, Shane. Guys, remember, we've got a new segment here on the Jonah Football Podcast, The Good, Bad and Ugly, which is a great little segment. And we've also done a Q&A on Instagram. It's been some good questions come in.
We got a few questions.
And we're gonna answer them at the end as well.
Yeah, nice.
There's something that I want to talk about, though, Shane. It's been on my mind. And this is one of the reasons...
Get it off your mind then,
this
come
is
on.
One of the reasons why we do
we
the
podcast.
We
don't want you staying up at night. Get it off your mind.
But this is the reason why we do the podcast, right? Because during the week or whatever, something might pop up in my head and I'll write it down on the board and I want to cover it on the podcast, and I just wanted to get your opinion on it. But there's two things and it kind of comes into the same lane. I want to talk about just good people. And since we started the podcast 2 weeks ago, so many people on my personal Instagram page reached out to me and were like, yes, it's back. Like, I love it. Shout out to people like my mate, Mark Williams, Gunther, always been a number one supporter. But I know we've talked about Gunther a couple of times on this podcast, right? But he's just a good, supportive person of what we do. And I want to chat about something that I really want to get off my chest is, I feel like we live in modern society now where so many people want to see, they want to see other people fail.
Mm.
They genuinely wish bad things happen to you. Right. And it just brings me back to just, again, at Jonah Football, just trying my absolute best to have good people around. Like, I would take a good person every day of the week over a bad person, but that bad person is an amazing coach.
Yeah.
Like, the good person in the end is always going to outweigh that.
Mm.
And it brings back to what I've seen with Pep Linders doing an interview. I don't know who it was for. And it was spot on. He was saying that the protocol at Liverpool when it comes to signing new players is not having any bad people in the dressing room.
Yeah.
And just having good, he said, good people, and he said good characters is what makes a great team.
Yeah.
And going back to the Carabao Cup, genuinely, I don't know how we beat that Chelsea team with the squad that we had. I know there's a lot of talk going around that Chelsea's team was younger. All right, yeah, fair enough. But their younger team is way more experienced than ours.
Yeah.
But I think it just goes back to like what Klopp has built at Liverpool, bringing in good people. And when he said that, I thought, how many bad eggs have we had in that dressing room at Liverpool since Klopp has been there? And I can't think of any. And if there is, he got rid of them.
Got rid of them.
He got rid of them fast. And it just brings me back to like, this would be great for any players that are listening. Are you a good person to have around the dressing room? And I was having that chat this morning with the girls that I was coaching. I absolutely love coaching Jasmine, Bella and Cora every Wednesday, right? Just because of the fact that they're just great people.
Yeah.
And easy to coach. None of them think they're too good for what they are.
Yeah.
And I just think now in the modern game, how many players think they're way too good than what they actually are? And they step into the dressing room and they just think they're better than everyone else.
Mm.
What I call that is cancer. It's cancer to your team. And you look at United, how many bad eggs have they had in the dressing room?
Too many.
Paul Pogba, to name a few.
Yeah.
We're never going to know what goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But I think it just got me thinking.
But I think that I think you're spot on what you're saying. And just for that, I think Pep Guardiola's the same. He done the same with the City team. He cleared out any of them people that were turning, like the fullback was a Cancelo.
Yeah.
The minute he crossed them, bang, gone. So he doesn't have any like hanging on there, any bad fruit in the dressing room. That's gonna, do you know what I mean? Because all it takes is one or two, and it slowly turns like the atmosphere in the dressing room. When you have everyone rowing the same way, then it's a lot easier. But I just think that what you're saying there is like, it's not just football, it's about life as well.
100%.
I feel like, I know people always talk about this, but like the energy that you like surround yourself with, if you're around negative people and like people that want to talk bad on people and like that, that's going to have a direct effect on the way you're feeling. Do you know what I mean?
I agree.
Whereas if you're around people that are happy and they're trying to like make the best of what they have and inspiring, like to try and push on in what they're doing, that rubs off on you as well. Do you know what I mean? So I feel like the energy you surround yourself in life will have a massive impact on the way you feel, the way you act, the way you look at the world.
I agree.
What I mean? I just don't think it's sport. I don't think it's sport. I think it's
a
life thing that, but I also do agree that it's easier now in the world for people to kind of, to drag and pull people down and kind of talk bad on someone than to give them, you know what, fair play to you, or I'm going to support you, you know what I mean?
Like, for example, when we got this HQ, I never ever used to look at these kind of things, but it's Carolina, my wife, who's kind of pointed it out and been like, hey, who's reached out to you and said, hey, congratulations on that. Super happy for you.
Yeah, but I think any success in life will always bring out the true supporters, the true friends.
I agree.
Do you know what I mean? It's the times that something's going on and you need someone, or they realise something and then they reach out, then that tells a lot. Do you know what I mean?
I agree. And I must, again, just give a big shout out to my wife, because when I'm around this place, Rez will back me up because I spend a lot of my time with Rez. I really, really try my best all the time to be positive in everything that I do. Mm. But obviously, running a business, there's problems, there's issues, there's obstacles that you have to get over. I kind of vent when I get home, when it's not around the team, because I don't want that negative energy inside this building or in anything that we do.
Yeah.
So I kind of like anything that's been playing on my mind, I kind of get it off my chest with Carolina, and then she will always kind of put me on the straight and narrow. Like, she hates it. Like, I went home, yeah, because I don't want to say I had a bad day yesterday, but didn't have the greatest day yesterday.
That happens, though.
Yeah, the van is stuck in KFC. This,
Zinger that. Boxes.
Listen, there's just issues, business issues. Like, there's people out there going through worse. But I went home, had a bit of a sulk, and Carolina was like, Lee, shut up. You know, like, just put me on the straight and the narrow and just get on with it. You know, this is what it's like. So without her, I think I'd struggle. But just going back to what I say is, it's so important to surround yourself with positive people. Yeah. And I know Godders won't mind me saying this, right? But Godders came up to me the other week and was like, I'm thinking of starting a clothing brand for golf. That's what Godders said, right? And I was like, oh, yeah, tell me more. And he was going into his detail, and he fully, like, thought about it, because he had lots of answers when I asked him that. And I just think, I'm the positive. I'm like, go for it, mate. Who cares if it doesn't work?
Yeah, yeah.
At least you said you've give it a try, and it didn't work, right?
100%.
But he could have spoke to someone that is just super negative all the time, or super jealous, or they don't want to see you succeed, and they could go, nah, don't do that, mate. It's not going to work.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not going to work. This isn't going to work. And then straight away, he could start down, that doubt creeps into his mind, and he's like, I'm not going to do it. So I just think it's so important, again, what you're saying, who you surround yourself with.
Yeah, it's massive.
Because God has asked me that, and I was like, mate, go for it.
Yeah.
Why not? It could absolutely explode if you've got a love and a passion for it. Go for it.
Got to give it a chance.
100%. And you don't want to sit there regretting it, you know?
But with our players, I think that's a big thing, that we always try and work on that as well. Like, even away from anything to do with the ball, we want the players to be developed into, like, good people. Like, when they go into dressing rooms, that I always say, be a player that people want to train with. So, like, I know, say if I pull up in a car on the morning and I see that person on the field, and I'm like, yes, they're training today. I want to go and train with him. I want to go and train with her.
Yeah.
So good. I always say that, be a player that people want to train with. And then what is that? And it's like, good energy, good smiles, encouraging me, pushing me, all that kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
I feel like that's one thing as a coach, to try and instill that in the players. Because, you know, when you get to dressing rooms in a senior level, if you're a good person around the dressing room, that's valuable.
100%.
Gaffers and managers, they'll keep you in there. Do you know what I mean? Because of what you bring, the way you can kind of manage people, the way you manage the personalities, and you kind of, you're a strong character, but you're also such an addition. Like,
talking on experiences with Jonah Football, Shane, obviously we're definitely not going to name names, but how many players do we have that just turn up and they think they're absolute Ronaldo? And how hard is it for us to coach them as well?
Yeah, it's difficult. But yeah, and the answer is, I feel like there's too many. There's too many players. So I think about this a lot. I can't put my finger on it. Why? Like, in a way, I love that they're confident, and I never want them to be. But there's ways that you be confident, and there's ways to get to where you want to go in the game as well. Do you know what I mean? And there's just pillars of the way you should be training constantly.
Yes.
And, like, a lot of the times you can't come in and act a certain way and not
back it up.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
So you look at Cristiano Ronaldo. He's famously said how many times, I'm the best player in the world. But he's backed it up with severe hard work.
Mm.
That's what annoys me. When you get players that they just think they're way better than everyone else and they don't even train hard.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you're not even proving your point here.
Mm.
You know, your attitude stinks. You think you're better than everyone else and you're not even working hard.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
I've been showing players this week a video of of Cristiano Ronaldo, and there's a couple of clips from like different interviews, and he was saying that. But there was a video when he was younger, and he was like, "I'm the best player in the world," and he's only young. But he says, "I'm also going to work the hardest than anybody."
Yeah.
And it was like, do you know what I mean? And he said, if he feels like he takes a session off or something, like he feels like he misses out then. His mindset is just completely about being the best. And that's where he's got to where he is. You know?
I agree. And like, I've seen a clip this week about City and Liverpool, how they've been the two standouts over the last 8 years. But I can't remember who said it, but someone was like, but they have actually outworked everyone.
Mm.
You watch the games, mate.
Hardest working teams.
They're the hardest working teams.
Yeah.
They City and Liverpool will run themselves into the ground with and without the ball.
Yeah.
And like it's right there in front of our eyes. Like Liverpool especially are well known for lose the ball, get it back straight away. Like those clips of Rashford, mate, that are circulating on Twitter where
that's not on though. You can't.
Is that why young players?
This goes back to having the bad eggs in the dressing room. Man United I've struggled with that. And that is the direct effect of that.
Yeah.
How can he go get away with that? I think he's a world-class player, Rashford. But you've got to do the other side of the game as well.
He's world-class in moments, I feel.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah,
he doesn't do it consistently.
No, but like...
But imagine that on the Klopp or
Pep. How is he getting away with that?
Yeah, Klopp or Pep.
He'd be hooked.
Have him in the stands, I reckon. And that, and for me, that's the difference. Like, I couldn't believe what I was watching, but I think just going back to our audience, and if you're a young player listening to this, right, yes, have confidence. I think confidence is so, so important, but just don't be that big time Charlie that thinks they're just way better than everyone else and you don't back it. Just don't be that player, guys. Yeah.
You'd be the same, but the minimum you do in a game is run and give some effort and try. Do you know what I mean? Whatever comes after that, comes after that. But as long as you go out and say, you know what, I'm going to work hard, I'm going to give what I can give in this game, and then what comes from it, then you can walk off and say, oh, you know, I didn't have a good game, but at least I tried. That's what Roy King's always on about.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He's always like, at least run, kick someone, tackle, do something.
Yeah,
do something. That's the minimum. But one thing I want to touch on, I know we'll move on, I know we're talking a lot of this, but biggest thing that bugs me, right, I'm going to frame this in the right way, but if someone says, I need to be pushed, or I need to be in this group so I can be pushed, or that breaks my heart. That's got to come from yourself. Do you know what I mean? If I'm training in a group with you, I'm not relying on you to push me. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then this is where it comes back to the young players, is like, especially obviously what we do, and the coaches that do what we do around would have dealt with this. It's like, I need to be in a group that is going to be pushed. What does that mean? Like, that doesn't mean, that means there's something wrong there. If you hear that, I feel like.
I agree.
Would you think yes or no?
Yeah, I agree.
I hate that. I hate hearing that. And a lot of my, I'll obviously coach here and stuff, and I don't deal as much with that. But I just feel like if you're looking at someone else in your team or your group to be pushed, then there's something, that's a red flag for me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's not on you. Whether you train with Messi or you train with a six-year-old girl, it doesn't matter. You still have your same way that you train, your attitude, your energy, and the way you do it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I also feel like that's got to come from us. That's got to come from us, where you're like, we'd sit in the office after a session and you're like, oh my God, little Timmy's way too good for that group. It's got to come from us.
Like, yeah.
Us being like, wow, needs to be pushed.
Yeah.
We need to move him. Like,
but that's what I'm saying. But
yeah,
if you realize, if you're in a group, right, and you're the best player in the group, well, then we can chat about that. But don't chat if you're not the best player in your team or your group. That, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Don't be like, oh yeah, I'm not being pushed enough. Well, you're not, like, you know what we talk about? This is, I'll move on, but you know what camps, take camps for it.
Yeah.
I want to go in the older group, I want to go in this group, I want to go in that. Yeah. Well, be the best group, best player in that group, and then we'll push into that one.
100%.
Do you know what I mean? It's like people always talk, I'm going to move club, I want to go a higher level. Are you the best player in your team?
I want to talk about this as well.
I don't know.
In Australia, we get a lot of players that want to go overseas, and that breaks my heart. It does. I get it, because the football in Europe is better than here. Mm. You know, it is. It's more competitive. more structural, more opportunities. But I just think to myself, what's Football Australia doing about trying to hold on to these players? Because there's some good talent here. But what frustrates me is we get a lot of players that come up to us, and I'm sure there's other coaches as well. Oh, can you help us go here? Can we go there? Can we go here? And then I'm like, well, are you absolutely dominating the league you're in? Are you dominating in the team that you're in? Are you the best player by a country mile? Because that's the level you have to be if you want to go over there.
Yeah.
And that's where I feel like a lot of players need to be very realistic with themselves. Yes, I get a lot of players want to go over to Europe and just give it a try. I understand that a lot. We're very lucky in the sense that that's where we started. I suppose if we started there, we probably want the same thing as well, Shane, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But I think be realistic with yourself, guys. If you're listening to this and you're a young player, you're 16, 17, 18, 19, and you're listening to this, you need to be playing, first and foremost, men's football. Like, under 20s is not going to cut it when you go over.
Or senior football.
Senior football, yeah. Under 20s is not going to cut it if you want to go over there. If you're good enough, you should be playing men's football. And I've always said, if you're NPL 1 over here in Australia, playing under 20s, my advice is always drop down a couple of leagues and go and play with men, seniors.
Yeah.
It is way more competitive, way more physical, way faster, and you're going to develop quicker. I remember saying that to Jordy Baz. Remember Jordy Baz? Shout out Jordy Baz. Seen him the other day. He beeped at me, by the way.
Yeah. He's real estate now.
Yeah, he's flying.
Selling houses.
Jordy Baz, miss you, lad.
Selling Sunset Baz, ain't he?
Young Baz. If those are the diehard fans of Jonah Football, you'll know who Baz is. He was with us right at the start. But I remember giving him some advice on being like, stop getting caught up in trying to get at Manly under 20. This was when he was 18, 19. Stop trying to get in NPL 1 under 20s teams.
Yeah.
Because obviously there's like 7 million players trialing out for one spot. I'm like, mate, go and play NPL 4 in the men's and watch how much you'll develop against men.
Nah, the sooner you get exposed, the better.
So he did. I think he went to, where did he go, Shane? Was it Pittwater? He went somewhere and bagged in a load of goals.
Yeah, yeah.
At 18 or 19. And then the following year, he was at Sydney Uni, first grade.
Yeah, yeah.
No, which is a higher step up.
I know. I just think, right, it comes down to a lot of people want you to try and open doors for them in their career, especially over this side of the world. It's difficult. Yeah. And they know that we've obviously came from that side of the world. So it's like, can you do this? Can you do that? I just always think, guys, it's on you guys to open the doors. Like, what you do and how you are in your games and what you do on the field is going to open the doors. It's not going to come. Do you know what I mean? The days of like me ringing this guy and him getting you in, they're gone. Do you know what I mean? You need to be opening the doors yourself. You need to be elite. Because the standard has gotten higher and higher every year.
I love how we just went on a diag there.
Yeah,
probably. But I just want to conclude what I was saying, guys. If you're listening to this, no matter what industry you're in, like, are you a good person? Are you supportive of, like...
That's what we started talking about.
I know. Are you supportive of, like, your best mates or your family? Like, do you ever reach out? Like, Lino's one of my best mates. And when he said he was starting his own business, I was so happy for him. So happy for him. Whereas I feel like there's just so many people in the world that wouldn't like that.
No.
And that breaks my heart, mate. I just feel like that's the way the world's going at the minute. So many people want to see others fail.
Yeah. But get your circle.
Yeah.
Get your circle in where you want
to
be.
I just think if you're listening to this, like, how supportive are you of the people around you? How positive are you of the people around you? Or do you just go into work and just negative and I've got this issue, got that issue? Like, I think it's something that it's gone way too far now. I just feel like with social media as well, it's just everything's negative, isn't it?
But I think it's something you can reflect on yourself.
I agree. That's why I'm
saying, like, hopefully
it.
This triggers people to think, you know what? What way do I be? What way do I act? What way do I see things? And 100%. Could I maybe, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's important as well. Like, a lot of times that stuff goes on in life where you got to sit back and think, oh, maybe I need to change this, or maybe need to do that a little bit more and stuff, do you know what I mean?
100%.
But, yeah, again, I think, yeah, good people, good vibes, that's what we want, isn't it?
Yeah, and it comes back to the Klopp thing about Pep saying that, and I think, do you know what? That's probably the reason why we've been successful, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Just no idiots in the dressing room.
Do you want to talk about the Caravan Cup or no?
The Caravan?
The Caravan Cup, yeah.
Is that what you're calling it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a Mickey Mouse trophy, I agree. But if you were to ask any other team, would you want a trophy in the bag?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They'd say,
sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
So it is a Mickey Mouse trophy. That's what Tyson said straight away. But I just think...
Come from a United fan, that though.
Yeah, I know. It's just in the way that we won it.
Mm.
And, like, Klopp came out and said that's the best trophy he's ever won because of the way
in
the game
went. Circumstances.
And even I was like, wow, you've won the Champions League, mate. You've won the Premier League, you know. But if you actually watch the game, it's like how that team beat Chelsea. That was Chelsea's best chance. But there was a period in extra time where we literally only had two starters, Van Dijk and Diaz. And Diaz was gone. He couldn't run anymore. He literally ran himself into the ground.
Yeah.
And the Liverpool fans were just singing their hearts out.
Yeah, I seen the video.
And I was just like, wow.
Got a lift in there.
It did. And we were the better team in extra time. And we deserved it. Mm. And I was like, I cannot believe we've just won that game. Because I felt like if it was going to go to Pems, I just think their experience would have took over.
Yeah, yeah.
We wouldn't have got it on Pens, but you never know. Pens,
it's a bit of a lottery though.
Pens is a toss of a coin, but I would have definitely backed Chelsea a bit more on Pens. But yeah, it was a Mickey Mouse trophy, but it felt way bigger than that for me anyway, as a fan in the circumstances that we won it.
How good for them younger players though that played? Like to win a trophy, the last couple of games they've been involved and then they've won a trophy. Like that Dan's guy, he's come on twice now and he's
won a Caravan. There's been lots of banter, hasn't there, about Kane not winning anything and he's...
Yeah, I know.
But that's football, isn't it? It's mad.
It's mad stories, but fair play to Liverpool. I only watched the highlights. Looked like Chelsea had a few chances.
Both teams had big chances. Yeah. Kelleher was fantastic.
Yeah, he made some big stuff.
Big saves. But yeah, buzzing, mate. Absolutely buzzing. And I think that's going to give us a lift. But like we've got Southampton tomorrow.
In the FA Cup, yeah.
And I'm like... We're literally going to play the under eight. Like, who the hell is going to play in that game? Our injury list is the worst I've ever seen it. I'm hoping he's just trying to rest the big guns like Nunes, Salah for the City game.
Can we? Right, now that's running in. We got to talk fancy here because we chat. So, what is going on with Darwin Nunes as a Liverpool fan? Can
I don't know because the game is just jumping over fences.
You're on every group, every chat, every whatever about Liverpool, so you need to tell me what the hell is going on.
I will, Shane, because it's frustrating me. I'm getting my fantasy up right now. I don't know. Even the press are trying to get answers, right? And Klopp's like literally just saying he just wasn't ready. The medical team is saying he's just not ready. Now that I think about it, I feel like he's just holding Szoboszlai, Salah, Nunes ready for the City game.
Because
as much as I love the kids, they're not going to beat City. I reckon Klopp knows that as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he's like, right, you guys, I'll sacrifice you for the next couple, even if it means the final.
Yeah.
Because the Premier League's the most important one.
Yeah.
But if they're not ready for City, City will. Even though I know it's at Anfield, but like next week.
City Liverpool?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So City...
What a game that is.
City have got United this weekend, and then Liverpool.
Who's Liverpool got this week?
Who have we got this week? All I know is we've got... let me have a look. I know we've got Southampton. And then we have... Forest away. So we've got Forest away and then Man City at home.
But surely... have you got Champions League the week after? Between
next week.
Before this?
Yeah. So we're in trouble.
That's what they're holding them for then, really, is it?
Gotta be.
Because I don't know what to do. Talking fantasy, I don't know what to do with Nunes. Because I love Nunes and I think he's going to be massive in the running. But... Like, and obviously it was a blank game week this week, and then, like, I'm just riddled with injuries. I just don't know what to do, and I want players that are going to play, but it's very hard at the moment to get players that are going to play. How many points you get this week?
Just before we go, Shane,
So
you've come off the top spot on FNS.
No, I know. Like, I'm going to put out there, last couple of weeks, everything that could possibly go wrong has gone wrong. For me, any decision I've made has backfired.
And Jay Winter's 11 points behind you.
Yeah, I know.
But you're only 15 points away from Ricky.
Yeah,
so tight.
It's tight. It's tight.
Oh my God. And Seb's on 1597.
There's still a lot to go, yeah. But at one stage, I was in the top 200 in Australia. And now I'm 2,850. But.
You were top 200 in Australia?
I was top 200 in Australia. But
no way.
I've just got the absolute wheels. and the steering wheel and the seatbelts have fallen off the car because I've just wobbled the last couple of weeks. I don't know what to do because I have De Bruyne in my team and he's not playing, but I want De Bruyne in my team when he plays, and it's like he's my main player, and last 2 weeks he's played one game out of 3 games for me. So like I'm killing myself. But
wow.
It's breaking my heart. Anyway, 48 points this week.
I had 72.
It's terrible.
Jared Bowen came in and absolutely. So yeah, I've all green on mine. I'm top 300 on Jonah Football.
Just go through your team for anybody who's listening. Quickly go through your 11.
I'll just go through the one that just got 72 points. So I had Raya in goal, Stupinian, Gabriel, Alex Moreno, -1. Honestly, that makes you feel sick, doesn't it?
Did you bring him in?
Yeah. I did wildcard.
Oh, wildcard.
Took me about an hour to do it. Because I had to get Haaland back in. How can you not have him?
Yeah, no. I learned the hard way.
I had Gross for Brighton. 70, got an assist. Saka, Bowen come in hard with 20 points. Foden. I've got Alvarez, Watkins and Haaland up top. And then on the bench, I've got Leno, Garnacho, Van Hecke and Connor Bradley. Mm. So I've took a huge hit with all my Liverpool players.
Are you set up for the next couple of weeks though?
Yeah, I think so. I tried doing it as best as I could, but I need to try and get Liverpool players back in.
Yeah. But it's difficult, isn't it?
Difficult now, because I've got no cabbage.
But like, tell me, right, apart from if you've got Haaland, it's very, unless you're, especially after wildcard, it's very hard to get Salah into your team now.
Yeah, I know.
But the next best player you get in is Darwin. But then,
I know,
who knows if Darwin's playing? He's running down stands and jumping over fences, but he can't play a game. He's getting hooked.
I know.
Oh, it's heartbreaking. Anyway, I had Areola, 2-pointer, stinking. Pau Torres, 1-pointer, injured at halftime, whipped off. We love to see it. brought in Reguilón, -1 points. Love that, Reguilón. Little yellow card as well and conceded, shipped 4 goals. Charlie Taylor, I've been holding on to him because he plays, but he plays for Burnley and 1 point is standard. De Bruyne at 0 points, didn't play. Garnacho 2. Everyone was on the Wang Hee Chan train. Because I was looking and I was like, yeah, Wang, good fixtures, blah, blah, blah. And then straight away, the game week opens and I look at people's teams. Everyone's got Hee Chan in their team. Like 70% of fancy had Hee Chan this week because of his fixture. Foden, 11-pointer, 10 for Saka. Watkins, Haaland up front. That's a good team on paper, but it's not played on paper.
I know. Well, look how lucky I got with Jared Bowen. Because they've got good fixtures, West Ham.
No, Bowen's pick. It was like between Bowen, Hee Chan and Diaz, or someone else was like the main three that people were talking about.
But
you pick right, Bowen.
Imagine I captain Bowen. That's 40 points.
Mm.
I think like whoever you captain like literally determines where you are.
That's the way it swings, don't it, the game?
Like, but I've captained Haaland and if you got 5 points, it's like,
But how about the double game week, City, Haaland scoring, like whatever, everyone triple captain him, and then he scored 5 goals in the game today. Like De Bruyne has scored 4 assists today, and he's not playing the last two.
Rez, can you just check your phone? Because I text you the code for the Jonah Football League. I'm going to just call it out.
Yeah.
Guys, get involved in the Jonah Football Fantasy League. I'm pretty sure we're well over 1,500 people in there.
Yeah.
Pushing 2,000. I'm 299 there, Shane. What are you?
I was third, second or third for sure a good while. I'm 35th.
35 out of, I think there's about 2,000 there. Guys, if you're listening or watching, go on Fantasy Football, type in Join League, and the code is 92D46H. 92D46H. What I like about fantasy this year is that you can add them to the group, to the league whenever you want. Yeah. They just come in the following game week. Whereas I think before that, something wasn't quite right with that. So hopefully at the start of the next year's Premier League, we'll have well over 2,000. I've said to myself, the second we get over 5,000, I'm going to bring in some big prizes.
Yeah, love that.
So join, guys, join.
I actually was speaking at least about this yesterday, but it's funny, right? So, you know, 7-Eleven. Right, Wednesdays, going to coaching this morning. There's a guy in the 7-Eleven rock, he's a legend, right? Legend. Oh, right, on Instagram.
This is where you get your Johnson's, yeah.
In the morning, yeah.
Johnson's Mean Coffee.
Over the last couple of months, he always works the same down there, but 5 o'clock in the morning, I pull in and he comes straight away. He opens the door, the latch, comes out straight away, all about fantasy, right? And he loves it. He loves football. He loves everything.
Oh, right.
And he's then he stands beside me while I'm making me coffee in the morning, showing me his fantasy thing, talking about fantasy. I think he follows us and stuff like that.
Does he really?
But the other day, it was like we were standing at the machine. And he was there, he was shouting, he was talking about Bowen or something like that. And I just looked over my shoulder, there's like four people standing in the queue. And he's the only one serving it. And I just goes, oh mate, you may go and serve these guys. Like, he was filming, he was just all about fantasy.
I like that.
But yeah, he's a legend, so if you're listening, he's a top guy. I don't know what you think, Ash. You think his name's Ash?
Do you know what? I missed that because before we had the HQ, I used to go to my guy as well, always used to talk about football, but he's not there anymore.
I love that energy at 5 in the morning, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you need
always
that.
Always smiling, always buzzing, just loves it. Like,
doesn't want to serve anyone.
No, no.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Love a 7-Eleven coffee, you, don't you, Shane?
It's the only place open, though.
Yeah, I know. We do have an early start here in Australia.
Yeah.
Do you know what, though? Australia is an early start country, innit?
Mm.
Go to bed early.
I realised that more when I went home back home.
Yeah, Christmas. A lot of people go to bed late.
Yeah. Like 10:30, 11 o'clock on the bed. Getting up like 7:30, 8.
Yeah, nah.
We got like everyone's.
We're in Scratcher by 9, eh, aren't we?
Yeah, lights off.
Up at 5.
Yeah. But I like it that way. I think it's the weather. I think the weather like affects that as well.
Yeah, 100%. People love a jog and a run over there.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, good, bad. Oh, do you want to go questions or good, bad, and ugly?
Nah, we'll always finish with good, bad, and ugly. Guys, on our Instagram, make sure you follow us at Jonah Football Podcast. We said that we're back this week, so get your questions in. And we've had some belters, Shane. So, follow us at Jonah Football Podcast. So, I've just picked the four best ones. Might do three, depending on the time. But I like this one.
Go on.
From one of my best pals. He actually is a person I came over to Australia with.
Yeah, what's his name?
Sean Eardley.
Oh, yeah.
Legend, played for Wales, managed in the Welsh League. One of my best mates. Funny guy. We should really try and get... We got Sean's brother on, Neil Eardley.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we need to get
Sean.
He's
a great guest.
Sean would be an unbelievable guest. Sean, if you're listening, right, Erdy boy, let's get you on the podcast. He'll have some crack.
Get him on the Zoom.
I already know. I was going to tell it then, but I'm not, because if we get him on, he'll tell it way better. But he's got, one of the best football stories.
Oh, got to get him on.
It's coming. It's a personal one as well.
Guests are coming.
Yeah, guests are coming. We want to just get back into the swing of things. Sean Eard, that'd get views, you know. He's a very popular guy. He's put dates for the Liverpool trip. Any trucker caps going, size 8 or bog roll? That's a personal joke that I don't think we can talk about. But dates for Liverpool are locked in, Shane Murray.
Yeah.
But we've already had a chat, so I think I've got some bad news for you. But good chance you're not on the plane, Shane, because I need you to hold the... hold the fort down here in Sydney.
Drive the ship here.
Yeah, so we've got our date, which is, double check now on my calendar, I'm going to have to come off screen. It's in May, and it is, where have I put it? UK camp, the 30th and 31st of May.
Oof.
Those are the dates, lads. And that is...
nice weather back then as well.
Yeah, so I'll say that again, guys. May 30th and 31st. That is with the legend Tom Owens.
Yeah.
And this has just been a camp that, oh my God, I think it'd probably be one of the biggest ones. Maybe bar California, because that's huge, Shane, every year. But this could be massive.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But the reason why it's definitely happening is because my best pal, Lukey Tice, our mate, legend of a bloke.
Ticey. Caddy him for him on Sunday.
Are you really?
Message last night at 10:30.
Sure.
Got the call up and I want you on the bag, big game.
Oh, said, my God, how said, much is he paying you?
Said, I'll be there. I said, breakfast on you. And he goes, 6:30.
Oh, what a guy. You know what? Shane's a legend like that.
I love this. I think it's maybe at the coach, but I get more satisfaction of helping another person, someone else win. Like, I don't like winning. I like winning as a team or winning together.
Yeah, that's why you love the Hunter trip, innit?
Yeah.
But yeah, to be fair, Ticey...
Getting married,
so that makes things a lot easier for me.
Makes
sense. I'm going back for his wedding and then tying it in with the camp. So that is that's the date. And then he's put any trucker caps going. I'm actually wearing it, so is Shane. So Rez, if you can get a little zoom in on that. The Jonah Football hats are available on our website, jonahfootball.com/apparel. There's not many left of these hats, if I'm being honest, Shawnee boy. We have them in two colours. What's the other colour? It's like a khaki, like creamy khaki colour.
Tan.
That's the one, Rez. This is
Peter Pan.
Guys, if you want to get any of the merch, I'm wearing a singlet right now. Head over there. Good question, though. And then the last one, Shoney, I can't talk about that. Maybe you can skip over that.
We'll ask him more when he comes on.
Maybe he can get onto that. But the next question is from Leisha.
Oh, Leisha.
Leisha works with us in the office. She's our administrator. God bless her. She's an absolute lifesaver.
Legend.
Do you think one of the girls in your family will make it into football? I was having this chat the other day, Shane. I can't remember who I was having this chat with.
Yeah, I was here as well.
The answer to that is Rez, because Rez has been interviewing us for the documentary.
Up the Rez.
Which Rez found out some interesting stuff, I think. Yeah. Didn't you, Rez?
Yeah.
But my answer to that is probably no, because we just want our kids to do whatever makes them happy. If that's playing football, then so be it. But I wanted to talk to you, Shane. I think we touched on it last week. I don't want to push them into anything. But at the same time, has that now fizzled out of sport, would you say? Mm. Pushy parents that really push the kids. Look at any great athlete, Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan. They've all been pushed by their parents.
Yeah.
Maybe too much. Like, you look at the Tiger Woods documentary.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's coming back now, the kind of...
Serena Williams, Venus Williams, that documentary on Netflix is superb. But again, pushed so hard by their dads.
It's a different era, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but how important do you think that is? Because I look at my dad, he pushed me as well to a point where I was falling out of love with it a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he stopped it. And then he stopped and I did well. But I look at it now and I'm like, I wouldn't have had them opportunities or been the player I was if he hadn't pushed me.
Yeah.
So I think it's a fine line with you.
Yeah, it's a tricky question because I just think it's a different world that we're in right now than, say, them generations, you know what I mean? I think there's just so much more, people are a lot more aware of like what like the effects any of that kind of stuff would have and like the mental health side and all that sort of stuff. And I think parents now, I don't know, I'm not a parent, but hopefully one day I will be, that they can, you know, they just want to support like what you're saying. Your mindset is to try and support the girls and see what, and support what they want to do rather than being like,
this is what you are doing.
You're going to play golf, you're going to play football. Do you know what I mean? So, because I think it's a world where you just can't be what it used to be in the old days where, like, do you know what I mean? If you're, like, you know, like, you hear, like, the way parenting back then was a little bit stricter, a little bit harder on the kids, and whereas now it's just a different world. It's very hard to kind of compare that. But I would say, I don't know, it's difficult.
It's a tough question, isn't it?
Mm.
Because,
but again, but how can you answer that though? Because
I know
at the end of the day, the girls are young. Say,
I know
the girls could develop into great footballers, could develop into singers or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And again, I feel like maybe I think everyone's kind of take on it is just to try and support in the right way. Like,
I think to answer your question, Leisha, if you're listening, is there's a big barrier in Australia in the sense that they get access to about 500 different sports. Whereas back when we were growing up, it was one, two, max. And I feel like kids struggle to focus on one. And let's be honest, if you want to be professional or have a career in doing something, you have to dedicate your life to it. And I remember when I was growing up, something had to give. I loved golf. I played golf at a good level when I was 15, 16. And I played, obviously, good level football.
But there comes a point. Like,
yes.
Not,
I had to give
I don't
one
feel
of
like
them up.
When you're 6 or 7 years old, I don't think you should be like, I'm going to be a footballer.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a cricketer. I'm going to be whatever.
I agree.
But I think there's a point in your life where you might be good at this and you might be good at that, but then I'm going to try and
when do you think that point is then? Because that's a good question. What age do you think, maybe I need to give this up, give that up?
I think I was around, I think from my personal experience, I stopped playing, like I used to play Gaelic football and I used to do other stuff, like growing, I used to play a lot of tennis. And then I was like, right, football's number one for me. I always was number one, but
yeah.
I cut everything else out because I wanted to go.
At what age, can you remember?
I was probably like, I reckon between 12 and 14.
Yeah.
There's an age where
I was just about to,
you start to realise that you're actually better at that, or do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that is a good topic because we see now 13, 14, 15 year olds, hey, I can't stay late. I've got basketball. I've got, you know, football training, and then I've got basketball. And I'm like, well, you're 13, 14 now. You know, what do you want to do? Do you actually want to take it serious? There's lots of people out there that don't want to take it serious as well. So that's fine.
No, that's
it, absolutely fine as well. You know, I want to do football, I want to do rugby and basketball. But I feel that's an issue in itself as well.
Mm.
Because then we're going to struggle to generate top athletes then.
Yeah.
If you're dabbling in four or five different sports. At a young age, I genuinely think you should do as many as possible.
100%. I was going to say that.
Try and figure out what you love, learning new things, and that's where my kids are at right now.
Yeah.
Mia and Zyla can go and play chess, Gaelic football, do whatever the hell they want.
Come on, Mia.
Full
forward. But like, I always think with the different sports growing up, it'll give you something else, like, and it'll help you in the sport that you eventually choose. Like,
I agree.
I know that I always get absolute belted for this, but I used to love, when a young kid, as a gymnastics, I used to love gymnastics, right? And I know people might have an opinion on gymnastics, but gymnastics gave me like balance, it gave me footwork, gave me like core
flexibility,
strength, all that stuff, guys, that I use throughout my whole time playing football. Tennis, what's tennis good for? Footwork, reactions, all that stuff. Any of them sports, you'll always pick something and it'll help you develop you, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and then it comes a time where I feel like if you want to be, give it a shot, well then you have to choose, like, do you know? But then again, it's, even when you do choose, it's still not, might, the chances are of making it is,
I think it's a cultural thing as well, though. Australia, there is so many different sports. America, there's so many different sports, whereas like in some countries like Brazil, it's just football. Literally just football. So I just think it all depends where you grow up as well. Where I'm from, it was a few things, but football was dominant, number one. America's probably the hardest one for kids.
So many.
For kids, if you're a young kid in America, you're spoiled for choice. There's lots of great careers that you can go and have, you know.
But that's great to see as well, though. I love 100%. I love a lot of other sports.
Yeah, I know. But that's
a great question, Lee.
With my girls, anyway, I'm just going to, like, they're not old enough yet.
No.
But I will say this, I'm going to finish it on this. And I say this to Mia as well, even though she's 4.5. Whatever you choose, if you're serious about it, you're fully in.
Yeah.
You're not like, oh, I'm going to do it at 20%, 50%. Like, you're fully in or you're out.
Yeah, that's it.
If you're serious about it. Like, if she's like, Lee, I want to be a professional golfer. Let's do it, but let's do it, do it. Don't just 50% it.
Let's get on the range.
Let's get the range, yeah. Let's go putting green. You know what I mean? I think we're going to end it there, unfortunately, with the Q&A, Shane, because I want to get to the good, bad and ugly to finish.
Yeah, Rez is pacing here behind the cameras.
Yeah, Rez is like writing numbers on. It doesn't matter, Rez, if we go over an hour.
You know what it's like now,
these
Rez.
These podcasts can go for 5 hours, Rez.
He's looking at the Ferrero Rochers there and he wants one.
Go away in your horrible Man United top. You're actually annoying me. Love you long time, Rez. You know I'm only joking. So, guys, we're going to finish with our segment.
Good, bad and the ugly. What are you saying this week?
You go first.
Good. This week or the last couple of weeks, and this is a bit of an overlap, but I always think about this. I always think about this, right?
Here we go.
And I always say to people, how good is sports in general in life? I think the world is such a different place if there's no sports on this planet. Imagine what the world looks like without sport. And the only reason I thought that is because, one, the reason why it kind of refreshed me was I was watching Leeds and there's a video and you see the Leeds. I think, firstly, you put it like that, I think Leeds are the best fans in England, bar none. No one comes close to Leeds fans, right?
But that's a big statement.
I'm telling you now, right? I was looking at the cameras going around after the game and they're singing the Leeds, like the Kaiser Chiefs song, I Predict the Riot, which always comes on. And what that does to people and makes feet, no other thing can get close to what sport does for people in their lives. Do you know what I mean? There's 40,000 people in Elland Road there bouncing at 9:30, freezing cold. Nothing else in the world does that apart from sports. And the way it makes you feel, the way it gives you something in your life to have that attaches, that you can get up and look forward to a match, look forward to training, look forward to this. I think sport, guys, is as crucial as anything in this world.
As you saying that has just got me thinking about not having sport.
What the hell would you be doing? Like, What would you be doing though? Seriously though, because we wouldn't be sitting here.
I know.
What would be our like bin men and painters and stuff? Lovely Coley, Coley's good painter, but what? No, what the world, right? The world, guys, is such a different place without sports. What do you think?
You're killing me, Shane.
I always think about it. It's weird. It's a weird, weird.
You're absolutely hammered, Coley.
No. There's, I love all, everyone else's jobs are great, but like, oh, I'm just saying. I just think such a different place without sports.
No, I agree. When you said it, I was just standing there thinking. Imagine there was no football. Imagine there was no golf. Imagine there was no
anything,
like stuff that we love, basketball, whatever you love. Like it would be weird, wouldn't it?
The whole place, the world, everything, the people. It's a different
life. Wow, like if you look at the UK, like people live for the weekend and football, literally. Like if you look at the Wrexham documentary, they're just Wrexham's their life, mate.
Exactly.
Good. I like that, Shaz. I like that.
Bad. This is people in Australia know this, but I just think the drivers in Sydney are terrible. I'm just putting it out there in the world. Like, I do a lot of driving, and some of the stuff I've seen over the last couple of weeks is just blows my mind.
Oi, blows way mind. Too many people on their phones, man.
Blows your mind.
I see. Because my van's high up, the Jonah van's high up, you can literally see people like on their phones as they're driving. Honestly. I've got kids in my car, mate.
We got
mate.
One chance at it. Switch on when you're driving.
I've got kids in my car. I pray that you never smash into someone and hurt someone because you're on your... I'm going to swear, man. That is bad. I see it all the time, Shane. Love that. That'll get me into a rabbit hole.
Yeah, like, we'll need another podcast for that. But then the ugly... I seen a video yesterday, 2 days ago on Twitter. And see the video of all the fans barging into the ground? I think it was like an England World Cup game. You see this, Rez?
England
there was
World
an England, the maybe the last World Cup, or yeah, it was World Cup last.
Yeah.
And obviously the England fans were at the ground. I think it was England fans. Don't quote me on this, but I just seen like there was an entrance into the stadium, and there was just like there was hundreds of people, and they just overrun the security, and they all got pushed through, and then they just ran into the stands like scattered. I'm like. I just thought that was poor. I just thought that was ugly. I thought it was an ugly look. I'm not saying it was England fans, but the way that was, I just think people these days, like, people are getting away. People feel like they can just do what they want.
I know.
And do you know what I mean? And, like,
yeah.
I just thought that was a poor look for football in general. Like, the way that the fans are just pushing through the security guards, going through the barriers without no tickets. They didn't have tickets. They were just going into the stadium and jumping.
It's dangerous, that, mate.
Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, that's just something popped in.
That was
an ugly look for football.
That is ugly.
Anyway, what's your good? Let's go.
Good was Liverpool winning the Carabao Cup.
Caravan Cup,
Has to be. Call it whatever you want, Shaz. You know what I mean? 10 league cups now.
Yeah.
Most successful team in England.
Go on.
But that was just, it gave me a good feeling.
That's after.
Do you know what I mean?
What sport gave you a good feeling?
It gave me a great feeling. And seeing all them young kids play as well. It was also good just giving Jay Winter a load of shit as well.
Yeah, he's gone missing again.
He's gone missing, and I love it.
So
bad, and I need to get this off my chest.
Short and sweet, keep it sweet.
I will. I promise you guys, I will. What is going on with the refereeing, Shane? No, please. Two things. Why are we taking so many goals away in our game now? Why? And to try and even it out so I don't sound biased to Liverpool, Sterling's goal against should have stood. What is going on with these drawing lines and that one of his hairs was offside? Can we just please fix that rule where it's like, if there's daylight between the defender and the attacker, it's offside.
Yeah.
If you can clearly see daylight there, it's offside. Why are we drawing these lines to see if their nipple or finger or their flipping toe is offside?
It's mad.
Do you know why I hate that? Because it's taking away more goals. And what the fans love to see? Goals.
Yeah,
and what do the Premier League and the people in charge, all these nerds, I call them, they're nerds, mate. I'm sorry. But people that are running the games in the VAR room, the referees, they're nerds, mate. They don't play.
It's technology.
But it's still humans running technology.
Yeah.
They're nerds, mate. They've never played football before. Who's making up these rules? Like they're trying to bring in this blue card thing, right? What is going on?
No.
And then, Shane, obviously, it brings you on to the next one. Did you see that decision, the Van Dijk goal? The Van Dijk goal.
The goal, yeah, yeah.
I know people have hammered me on Instagram and that, but it even
wasn't United, it a block, like a block.
But even United, everyone yeah. in the, everyone on this planet that knows football is like, that's a goal.
Yeah.
But there's people disallowing it.
No, I but they're looking for ways to intervene. Yeah. Game now, and it's like, but even with technology now, we're still getting. Anyway, that's...
Shane, if they're disallowing that goal, then there needs to be about 400 disallowed goals for blocked runners in the Premier League.
No. It happens
every week.
Happens every set piece. Do you know what I mean? So, if you're going to do that, like you said, it's got to be done every time.
But
actually, I think, maybe watching Championship, obviously as a Leeds fan, there's none of that. Do you know what I mean?
And because there's no VAR.
Yeah, the game flows. There's a bit of excitement.
Oh my God.
Even Leicester had a goal rule out. Or Leicester, the linesman gave an offside for a Leicester goal to go 2-0 up, and it wasn't offside. But it was like, just get on with it. It happens. Human error. Because he made a decision in the split.
You're saying we should go back to that, you think?
No, but I think I always thought that has to be some way of, it can't be stopped all the time. I think you can stop it on one or two times, like I was saying.
Guys, if you're watching me on YouTube, like I genuinely look stressed right now.
It's something.
It's
something that you're not gonna.
Is it not annoying you, Rez?
I mean, cricket, there's a different rule. Even if it shows the right way, you know, like it's bowled, they go with the umpire's decision if it's too close.
Is it?
Yeah, in cricket there's a rule.
But you know what's annoying?
Yeah, but also in cricket you can actually use a challenge. Like you can challenge.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This I said this 2 years ago. And I don't think people will disagree as well. But I feel like you can, if something happens in a game, you can challenge it once.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't be stopped all the time.
Yeah, like so, the tennis as well.
if something's offside,
I read
and,
that.
You're like, yeah, you know what? We're gonna have a look at that. We're gonna have a look at that. And if it loses, then you can't do it again.
Because do you know why that would be amazing?
That's
football?
An NFL rule, though.
No, but do you know why that'd be amazing football? So say if Klopp wanted to challenge that and be like, that's a goal. That would be amazing because then these managers would need to take a look at it and be like, ooh, I don't want to make myself look like an idiot. That's actually offside.
Yeah.
Or, that's why it would be good.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, because sometimes Klopp has come out and been like, I'm not too sure about that, Klopp, if I'm being honest. Like, I love you, but not too sure. But if you bring in that challenge rule, like 100% he's challenging that goal, being like that.
I just think you'd have to get the grey areas worked out. And
I agree.
Because I think it'd become a bit too
slow. I just
don't
even know what is offside anymore. What's a foul? What's this? What's the handball rule? I just don't know where it's going. But just going back to it, how many decisions have you seen when they've gone to the... when the on-field referee has gone to the VAR, right?
Mm.
How many have you seen where the ref has agreed with their decision? They always reverse it.
Yeah.
What the
100%, if they're sent to the screen, it's changed.
It's changing.
Yeah.
So why are we doing that, guys? Why are you going to the screen knowing every single fan in the world's like, well, he's going to change it now?
Yeah. No.
He's not going to stick.
That's
with
fair.
It.
Never thought of that.
I've never seen the referee go, nah, sorry guys, I've watched it. I'm off the seat, guys. That's how fuming I am. But like, the second he went to the machine, I'm like, oh my God, they've disallowed it.
Mm. Anyway.
I
was that your ugly?
I'm going to go ugly as well because we're just going on. But it's like, it's genuinely ruining the game, Shane.
It is. But it's been like...
I know Liverpool won and I was buzzing, but it really, really... It was this close to turning
it off.
But it's
week in, week out in the Premier League.
I wanted to turn it off.
It's happening every week.
I genuinely wanted to turn it off.
How about was it Nottingham Forest hired Mark Clattenburg to be part of their staff? He's an ex-ref, so he's... part of their staff, he's a referees coach or referees an analyst maybe. So he's there working with Nottingham Forest, analysing the decisions that the ref has given against Nottingham Forest.
Wow.
That's crazy. I think it's poor from Matt Clattenburg to take that position, being an ex-ref, but must be getting cabbage. That's wild anyway.
I just think there's a bunch of nerds running the game that don't know football. I'm done. I know people might come at me with that, but Joey Barton used that phrase, nerds, but Joey Barton's gone on a mad one. He's on a mad one. We can't go into that.
He's a lunatic.
He's lost the plot, but...
Love it.
It really, really did upset me the other day where I was like, if I didn't love Liverpool this much, I genuinely would have turned it off because I'm sick of it. I know people, oh, you shut up, whatever, but look at the decision we got against us at Tottenham, and then that one again the other day. And luckily, justice for me was served that we won it in the end, but it was bad, Shane.
I just don't, bad. It is, but I just think something we just got to get on with and see what way it develops.
Stop taking goals away from the game, man. You'd much rather see a 5-5 than a 1-0.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, man. Anyway, that's the podcast, guys.
Podcast in the books. We're back 2 in a row, guys. We've been consistent. We've got Reza on our backs here, guys, so he'll be driving it.
Questions for next week.
Yeah, yeah. Get your questions in for next week because we couldn't quite get them.
But yeah, big shout out to everybody that's listened and supported and watched the podcast. Obviously, we're back now, guys. So as we talked about, we love and we really appreciate any support that you guys give us. So keep listening, guys, and we'll do our best to be
love
here.
Love it, Shaz. Appreciate it. I really want to just say, if you've watched it on YouTube, I triple appreciate that, because that's where we're trying to drive everyone is. By watching it and helping us on YouTube, it helps us to actually generate some sort of an income doing this, which then means we'll do it more often. Me and you are so busy. And I know we've never really done this for money, ever. But if we can get the subscribers up on YouTube.
Shane's birthday.
It was Shane's birthday yesterday, guys.
It was, yeah. Oh, actually, do you know what? I don't touch on, right? I was turning up this morning and I had some players come up with gifts for me. I had muffins for a rush.
Oh, because I put it in the chat.
Golf
didn't
balls,
I?
Honestly, I loved it. Like, I love that's the sort of positivity we need in
it. No,
the world.
Shane, I put it on Instagram yesterday. Did you read him or not?
Stay there,
guys. Follow our main page, guys, at Jonah Football. We have 245,000. I love every single one of you. That's so many people, by the way. So I wish you a happy birthday on Insta. Happy birthday to one and only Shane, or AKA Muzza, Darug, Scratcher, Shaz, Daz. I missed out Shannon.
The video you put on me, was that in your personal?
Yeah.
With the rake. I watched it come down and I burst out laughing.
Oi, but bruv, look at the amount of people that were wishing you a happy birthday on there.
That's so nice, yeah. Love the support.
Honour to be able to learn from you. Keep showing up. Love your work.
Who's that?
Will Ong, 10.
Ongzy.
Carolina, happy birthday to my favourite staff member and friend.
Love it, Carolina.
Hate you, Rez.
What a legend.
Oh my, one word, legend.
Years to catch up here, Rez.
Oi, Carmen. Rez's missus, happy birthday. Wish you can have battered sausage and chips curry dip every day.
Oh, Red, okay.
Seb Saunders, he loves it, you know.
Busy animal.
Here we go. Happy birthday, Sharon. Second best free kick taker at Northbridge after Seppa. He's an idiot.
Seppa scored a world leader.
I'll do one more. I'm trying to go with Tracy Jones. Wish you happy birthday.
Trace, love it, Tracy.
Yeah, yeah. See, when you're wishing someone happy birthday, I like people to go a little bit more personal.
No, I just obviously, for me, guys, Lee obviously put that up, but I had lots of people reach out through, like, social media and stuff like that, and I do appreciate. I think as you get older, you appreciate, like, someone just reaching out and saying happy birthday more than when 100%. You were younger. So, no, I felt the love from everybody yesterday.
Fantastic.
So,
I'm going to do the last one, because this just kind of epitomises what you are, Shane. Happy birthday, Shano. Thanks for being awesome and so supportive towards Jules, Julian Badu.
Ah, oh, nice.
Right, man.
Julesy boy.
That's Jules' mum.
Yeah.
Madame. Guys, that's the poddy. Happy birthday to Shane. We'll be back. We'll try and get some guests, but we don't need guests, guys. We just don't need guests.
Keep chit-chatting.
Rez, if you wear that Man United top again inside the
HQ.
We're
going to do a live podcast.
You're going to burn it. I literally am.
We should get sick of it. Do you know what? One day we're going to get Rez on and we're going to put him in the hot seat and see what he's about.
Yeah, he's bursting up and down the office here telling us we're going way too long.
His step counter's going mad. He hasn't stopped walking for the last hour. You got 10,000 steps.
Just stop walking, Rez. We'll do a 1.5 hour podcast if we have to.
Guys, that's us. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. Hope you enjoyed it.
YouTube, subscribe, guys. Jonah Football Podcast. There's been lots of views on episode 1. Thanks so much. See you next week. Peace.